Have you ever felt like you were the wrong person for the job? Like you didn't have enough experience or the right skill set? Of course you have. We all have. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. As we continue with this new series on the book of Jonah called The Manifestation of Your Life Mission, Pastor Rick shows us that no matter how big the thing is that God is calling us to, we don't have to run away from it. Why don't you invite a friend to listen along with you as we discover how to embrace God's calling on our lives and how to live according to the purpose and plan He has for us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can order a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or just by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called What to Do When You Get a Second Chance.
Now, when does God expect you to warn people that you love? When? Well, I went through those over 100 verses in the New Testament this week, and I made a list of all things we're supposed to warn people about. We don't have time for that. But let me just summarize it in two categories. Write these down. When am I supposed to warn people that I love? Number one, when they're not thinking wisely, and number two, when they're not acting wisely. I'm supposed to warn the people I care about when they're not thinking wisely or when they're not acting wisely. Now, this is not your whole life message, but it is a part of it, just as warning was a part of Jonah's life message. I'm supposed to warn people when they're not thinking wisely or when they're not acting wisely. Now, just in case you think I'm making too big a deal about this, let me take you to another guy, another prophet named Ezekiel. Not the football player, but here's what the Bible says about Ezekiel. Ezekiel 33, 1 to 9. The Lord said to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, warn your people by saying this, someday I, the Lord, may send an enemy to invade your country. And suppose you people choose someone to stand watch and sound a warning when the enemy is seen coming. Okay? Now, if you ignore the warning and you're killed in battle, it'll be your own fault because you could have escaped if you just paid attention, in other words, to the warning. But suppose the person given the mission of watching and warning fails to sound the warning signal. In that case, he says, then I, the Lord, will hold that person responsible for the death of those people. Now, Ezekiel, I have appointed you to stand watch and warn the people of your nation. So listen to what I say and then warn them for me. And here's what God says. When I warn people that they'll die if they keep sinning against me, you got to warn them to turn from their sinful ways. But if you fail to warn them, then I'll hold you responsible for their death. On the other hand, if you do warn them and they ignore you, they'll die because of their sins, but you will be innocent. Wow. Now that whole passage makes me ask myself and ask you two questions. Have you ever warned anybody about anything? Spiritual? Have you ever warned anybody about a spiritual or a moral danger? Or were you more interested in being popular than helping them? Were you more afraid of their disapproval than you were in love with God and love them enough to tell them the truth? You're about to walk off a cliff. We live in a nation that is crumbling, that the culture is falling apart. And if believers in Christ don't speak up, who's going to do it? Here's the other question. Who is God going to hold you responsible for one day because you said nothing and let them destroy their lives? You just let them walk off the cliff and you said nothing. This is important. This is not your whole life mission, but it is one facet, one factor in it. Now, there's one more thing that Jonah did, and this is a positive. So here's the number five, okay? If I know God's given me a second chance, and every day is a second chance, then I'm going to live my life with profound gratitude. I'm gonna focus my life on God, not myself, and on making my mission a priority, not everything else I was living for. I'm not gonna delay, I'm gonna obey today, and I'm going to accept my responsibility. Sometimes I have to warn people I love because I love them. And I do it in love, and I accept warnings in humility. Here's the fifth thing. When God gives me another chance, expect God to use me. This is good news. I expect God to use me. See, God doesn't keep you alive for you to live for yourself. He keeps you alive because he wants you to use you. God doesn't keep you alive. He doesn't give you another chance just so you can retire and do nothing. No, God keeps you alive because he has a plan and a life mission that's still in operation, whether you've done anything about it or not, up to this point. And he's saying, I want to use you. When God keeps you alive, it means God's not through with you. God is not finished with you. God has a plan. God wants to use you. You say, Rick, you don't know what I've been through. Doesn't matter. God only uses imperfect, broken people. If God only used perfect people, nothing would get done because there are no perfect people. God only uses ordinary, broken, imperfect people like me. I'm an ordinary, broken, imperfect person, and God uses me. And God says, I'm using you as an ordinary, imperfect, broken person. See, one of the problems, a common mistake, is we turn these people in the Bible into like superheroes. There are no superheroes in the Bible. They're all just ordinary people, ordinary women, ordinary men like you and me. Jonah's an ordinary guy. He doesn't want to do what God says to do. God gives him a turnaround. He goes and does what God tells him to do. He doesn't even do it correctly, not even with the right attitude. But God still uses it. And this is, you see, expect God to use you is the fifth thing. This is why Jonah was in such a sour mood, because he knew that God was gonna use him and he didn't wanna be used. He's going, I don't want these people to have a spiritual revival. I don't want these people to repent. I don't like these people. I'm prejudiced against them. They're not my political background. They're my enemy. And you telling me, go and warn them, which means you don't really wanna do this, And because if you wanted to, you wouldn't even warn them. And second, if you're telling me to go warn them, then they're gonna listen to my warning and they're gonna actually get forgiven. That sucks. And that's why he's got this sour mood, because he doesn't want any of this. He knows what God's gonna do. Now, what happens next is flat out miracle, because the city responds to Jonah's seven-word sermon. That's all it is. Seven-word sermon. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Wow, what a sermon. And it was the biggest spiritual revival in history. The largest city in the world turns to God. Look up here on the screen. Here's what it says. The Ninevites believed God, and they humbled themselves, putting on sackcloth. What's sackcloth? It's cloth they make sacks out of. Burlap, it's burlap. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least as a symbol of their humility. And when the news reached the king of Nineveh, this is the head of the Assyrian Empire, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with burlap, sackcloth, and even the king sat down in the dust. Then the king proclaimed a public fast. And he says, no human or animals to eat or drink anything. Let each of us and even our animals be covered with sackcloth. Then let us all pray urgently to God. and let us turn from our evil ways and let us stop all our violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion and turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Folks, that is a greater miracle than a fish swallowing Jonah. The king of Assyria, the empire, and the entire city, of the largest city in the world, turning to God in humility, that's a bigger miracle right there. And I want you to notice, I went through that pretty quickly, five things that they did. Because these five things that they did are the pathway to personal revival and national revival. And we need both of them in our world today. Here's what they did. Number one, they humbled themselves. Number two, they fasted. Okay, they proclaimed a public fast. Number three, they prayed urgently. Okay, they prayed urgently. Okay, number four, they turned from evil and the bad things they were doing. And number five, they said, let's stop all violence. Would that change our society if we did those things? Hello? I mean, just imagine, for 50 years, Nineveh has been the world's largest city. They're so proud. Then why in the world did they respond to a seven-word sermon and everybody turns to God instantly? That's an incredible miracle. Why were they so receptive, even though Jonah's message was unloving and short? Because God had prepared their heart. And how had God prepared their heart? The way he prepares every heart, through pain. Through pain. Now, you wouldn't know this, but the largest city in the world turns to God because they'd had pain in just the few years before that. You have to know a little bit about archaeology and ancient history to know this. So let me read this to you. You see, when this happens, when Jonah is going there, the Assyrian Empire had been dominant for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's like the British Empire, the Roman Empire, the American Empire. Okay, but now they're in decline. And the empire's in decline. And they're losing battles against the Medes and the Persians, which is Iraq and Iran. And they had domestic riots inside the city going on at this time. In 765 BC, they had a seven-year famine. This is right when Jonah is in time. 765, that began a seven-year famine. 763 BC, there was a total eclipse of the sun. We actually even know it was on June 15th. And that scared the entire ancient world because that was like a prophecy of like doom is coming. In 762, Nineveh had a massive earthquake. It sits on a fault. And they had a massive earthquake in the city. In 761, the Tigris River, which is right by Nineveh, flooded the city. So they've had total eclipse, floods, enemies, riots, fires, earthquakes. These disasters happen right before Jonah has arrived. God is preparing their hearts. And Jonah 3:10 says this, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion. Duh. That's what he wanted to do. And he did not do what he had warned he would do. Because of this revival, the Assyrian Empire's demise, the destruction of the Assyrian Empire, was postponed 100 years. And Nineveh was not destroyed until about 612 AD by the Medes and the Persians. It went for another 100 years. Does this remind you of a culture that's been dominant, seems to be decaying, and if they had a revival, God might give them another 100 years? Nineveh finally fell in 612 AD. This revival where an entire city comes to God was so famous in the ancient world. I mean, everybody knew this. This is not just in the Bible. Everybody knew this story of Jonah and Nineveh. In fact, 1,200 years later, Muhammad tells the story of Jonah and the revival in Nineveh and writes it in the Quran, the Muslim book. He didn't know that. The story of Jonah and the fish and the revival in Nineveh, it's not just in the Bible, it's in the Quran. Because everybody in the ancient world knew this for hundreds and hundreds of years. Nothing had ever happened like it. He was just an ordinary guy who says, okay, I'll do it. And he didn't even do it very well. What would happen if a city like LA or Berlin or Buenos Aires or Manila or Hong Kong did the five things that the people in Nineveh did? We'd have revival. We would have revival. In this story, both Jonah and the entire city get a second chance. Now, the fact that you're still alive, let's get back to you. The fact that you're still alive means God is still giving you a second chance. Okay? But you have to pay attention to his warnings. You have to pay attention to his warnings and then do these five things. Last verse on the screen. Hebrews chapter 3. Warn each other every day. It's my job to warn you. It's your job to warn me, and it's our job to warn each other. Warn each other every day, because it's still today. In other words, we don't know about tomorrow, but we're still here today, so we're going to warn each other today. We can't work on tomorrow. It's not here. Warn each other every day, because it's still called today, and so that your heart isn't hardened against God by the sin's deceit. We will share in all that belongs to Christ. That's good news, if we hold firmly till the end. So, if you hear God's voice today, listen and don't be stubborn. So listen, I want you to listen to me because I love you. If you wake up tomorrow morning, which I assume you will, but it's just an assumption. If you wake up tomorrow morning, you realize that every new day is another chance that God has given you. And you need to do these five things that Jonah did. Start thanking God at the beginning of the day. Thank you, God, for another day. I'm breathing. I'm alive. I have a pulse. You've given me air. Thank God every day. Start living your life with profound gratitude. Number two, make your life mission the top priority of your life. Not making money, not anything else. Number three, don't delay, obey today. Whatever you've been putting off, stop it. Number four, accept your responsibility to warn other people that you love when you need to. Don't let them just walk off the cliff. And number five, expect God to use you, because that's why you're still here. Let's bow our heads. Father, I want to thank you that your mercy is new every day, because we all need second chances. I sure do. Help us to remember that every moment of our lives is another chance from you. Help us not to waste it. Help us to humbly accept warnings from other people who love us, and help us to love other people enough and care about them to lovingly warn them. Father, every one of us have had that stubborn pride, but we can all hear you clearly right now. So we're saying we want to be the kind of people that you want us to be. Now you pray, God, help me to be more grateful, to live with an attitude of gratitude, profound gratitude for each new day that you give me a chance. I want to make my life mission your top priority. And the stuff I've been delaying on, I'm not going to postpone it, procrastinate anymore. Help me to care and love people more than I love their approval. And when I need to warn somebody in love, give me the courage to do that, because I don't want their life on my responsibility. And most of all, Lord, help me to expect you to use me, because that's why I'm here. I'm not here to live for me, but for you. Jesus Christ, I want you to be the manager of my life from here on out. And I want to follow you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick.
If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining for today's lesson. Now, if you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Rick will be back in just a moment to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In the years I've been a pastor, writes Rick Warren, the number one question I'm asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. In his book called God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick draws simple but profound truths from the Bible, which give you practical guidance for specific types of change. Right now, here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. That's why I've written a little book called God's Power to Change Your Life. It's a really practical guide for making positive, practical, and lasting changes in your life. And how do you do it? By letting God work through you. Now, you and I both know there are a lot of good self-help books out there that they'll tell you the right thing to do, how to, you know, break bad habits and how to set good habits and all these great things. But they are missing the most important part. They don't give you the power to change your life. That power only comes from God. You can't get it out of a book. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life. Thanks a lot for listening today, and thanks for helping support Daily Hope. We love you, we thank God for you, and we hope you'll continue to listen to this broadcast as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
Go to PastorRick.com to support Daily Hope, and we'll send you this powerful resource. Or just text the word daily to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle. Or the word daily to 800-600-5004. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.